Good evening.
Hello, good evening.
You're doing all right, I hope.
Did I what?
I said, I hope you're doing all right.
Oh, yes, yes. Just always something happening. A grandson who lives in New Orleans is coming in because his grandmother passed away, his maternal grandmother. So it's at the bedroom ready and cook some food. Story of my life.
I get the feeling you also enjoy it.
Yeah, it's just I just do it slower than I used to. I can't seem to put it all together and finish ever. So I've been in a clothes closet for a week, but it does make you feel good when you clean that closet. It's a big closet that Tony and I share, and I don't think I've cleared out that closet in maybe 2 years. So sort of kind of helps with the season to make you feel like you're, you know, scrubbing deep baseboards and walls and floors and, you know, taking clothes out that you don't need anymore or need sewing or need laundering or something, you know. And it sort of feels like the teshuva process, you know. So.
Yeah.
And then somewhere along the way, maybe in tonight's class, when you ask me about taking challah, if I baked on a Friday, and I said, you know, I wouldn't take the challah that day, but you always have bread in the freezer. And so I would not have served that bread that I baked on a Friday because...
I understand.
Okay, so I guess I need to get that clear to Jasmine. So she's on tonight. I'll bring it up.
Okay. So, good evening.
Good evening.
You broke up when you first came on, so. But we're about to start with Pasuk 49 of Section 8 in the Parsha of Noach on the Sulam commentary. And we'll start with the L'shem Yehud. L'shem Yehud kutcha b'richu ishkinte bit hilu urchimu hilu hilu urchimu. Le'akta l'shem yudhe b'vave b'yichuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael. Limud Torah mitzvah. La'asot Torah mitzvah. Vayehi Noam Adonai Eloheinu aleinu ma'asei yadeinu kunanei aleinu ma'asei yadeinu kunaneihu.
Marco?
Verse 49, section 8 of the Parsha Noah. Tachatze min yoma deit v'nei beib makdisha. Hawa kutcha b'richu, nistaka be'ya, v'achaviv aleya, sage v'chawa d'achil, alayhu d'Yisrael d'yeches tun, v'charav be'akdisha, v'kan b'kol zina, tahawa, Ate legabe be makdisha hawa levesh hahu por piva levatar degarmu chovin viargizu tami malka itcharav be mik makdisha Luvaza hahiyo Purpira Chayenu Dikti Vasa Hashem Asher Zamam Bat Bitsa Emrato. Come and see. From the day the temple was built, the Holy One, blessed be He, used to watch it, because it was very precious to Him. And He used to worry that Israel might sin and cause the temple to be destroyed. So every time He came to the temple, He wore a precious mantle, meaning that He mated with Malchut. But when Israel sinned and made the king furious, the temple was destroyed, and He tore His cloak apart. That is the meaning of Hashem has done that which He has devised. He tore His hem. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Did we not read that yesterday?
No. We read verses 46, 47, and 48. This verse
because
is continuing what we read yesterday.
We talked about Him tearing his mantle or coat.
Yes, we did.
Because Israel had sinned.
That is correct. That's the whole idea of, or the question that could be asked is, why do we need to hear it again? Why does the material need to be presented to us slightly differently?
Because every time it is presented more than once, it's something for us to pay close attention to.
Correct. Every time it's presented more than once, it's something that is important to pay attention to. But it's also that it really isn't the same thing, and we need to realize it's not the same presentation.
Well, too, and we have to remind ourselves that Hashem isn't a corporal being, so He wouldn't have a garment, you know, so we're talking about a metaphor.
Yeah, but
yes,
Malchut
is born. And it's clearly talking about a metaphor. But we had a whole midrash that was read in the previous couple of verses. It talks about paying attention to something you hold precious. So should we pay attention to things we don't hold precious? How come in our own lives, what we think is important, that's what we pay attention to? But what really is important is the mundane things of life. Shabbat is a mundane thing of life for most people. Oh yeah, today's Shabbat. I'm not supposed to work, but I'll turn on the TV. I get drawn into something. Let's go play some football with my kids. Whatever is distracting you from watching what is important. Another question. How can Israel sinning cause the temple to be destroyed if God is watching it?
How about the fact He gives us free will? But that's an illusion.
Does He give you free will? Randy, does He really give you free will?
No, He only gives you free will to either react or not react.
That's correct. So we really don't have free will.
Right. I said it was an illusion.
Yes. But it's a question. It seems to be important to Hashem. It seems to be important that we have free will. We have spiritual laws. There's no coercion in spirituality. That's a corollary to the concept of free will. So you can see there's a lot in this verse that you don't see on the surface. A code word, he wore a precious mantle. And Rabbi Ashlag tells us that he made it with malchut. That's the meaning of wearing. Well, you and I wear garments. We wear clothing. Is that a form of mating?
Concealing to reveal.
I'm sorry, Hannah, you broke up. What'd you say?
I said it reminds me of what we say oftentimes, concealed to be revealed.
Correct. But we do, you know, when we wear clothing, can we wear clothing that we steal? It doesn't belong to us? Who made that clothing? Oh, it was made in a t-shirt factory in communist China.
Well, actually, Hashem made it,
Was it made for me to wear that t-shirt? Or was it made for somebody else, and I bought it not realizing that the energy belonged to somebody else? But the machines turn out how many sewn items in an hour? How am I supposed to know that that shirt was for me?
Well, don't
a lot
you
of information
think
that...
Don't you think that the
Go
energy
ahead.
Of that shirt, if, don't you think that the energy of that shirt or that item, if you're sensitive to energy, would draw you to go ahead and buy it or purchase it? And everything
Absolutely. Everything
that is done is supposed to be done in And whatever is, in that time or place.
How many times have you bought a dress or an outfit? And it hangs in your closet because you don't wear it. Why don't you wear it? Oh, I don't really like that color. It doesn't feel right on me. We've all done it. What are we doing with that action? We're abusing
we're stealing the energy that could have gone to someone else.
Correct. But maybe I bought it. I thought at that time it was right for me. But now it's not. What does that feel like? What is that teaching us? You have to restrict on your mundane actions. You have to use binding by striking on what you buy so that you know you sense the energy of the thing. Because we don't consciously think in terms of this thing has energy and that energy might belong to me or might not.
It kind of goes along it kind of goes along with when you dress to impress. When you buy the item because you think it will impress, but you're not really feeling the energy of that item. So if you do binding by striking and you don't buy it at that time, but you go home and you think about it, when you come back, it may not be so appealing, and then the person that was supposed to get that energy gets it.
Correct. But if you don't use binding by striking, you make these mistakes. But now I'm just putting it on an outfit that might not be a lot of money. But I've known people who bought furniture for, you know, $1,000, $1,200 couches. And next week they gave it to somebody else. It didn't fit my house. I didn't like the color. Happens all the time in all many different levels of consciousness, very different, many different values. Question 50. Hi, Amrato. Bekad meta yad va berosh amire. Amir, behind Atru, Itra, Leresha, Vilan, Na Elefanav, Vahimi, Kedem, Vadai, Ukden, Atsivu, Kamea, Birate, Bara, Vadai vehein er elam tzaku chutza. His hem, the Hebrew word is imrato, as mentioned here, refers to Malchut, which was sitting before on the top of the tree. The Hebrew word is amir. And the king crowned himself with it and had before him a beautiful tree. The tree of the souls before they come into this world. But now, after the destruction of the temple, he tore her, meaning that the upper nine sephirot left Malchut, and only the light of Nefesh remained there. After the destruction, there is sadness before him all over in the external houses, but not in the internal ones. As the verse reads, behold, the valiant ones shall cry without. That is only external ones. Questions, comments, thoughts? Everybody's afraid to talk. Why is a hem considered malchut?
Well, we think of it as the bottom of the tree, but it's really the top of the tree. In this verse, at least. I have a feeling maybe the external ones, not the external, the internal ones are Heter, Hotman, Bina. But I'm not really sure.
Well, of course, you. If you use the visual metaphor of cylinders representing the Sephirot, Malchut is the most inner Sephirot, the inner cylinder, or is it the external cylinder?
Judy has that diagram. I don't have it. I just have Rabbi Zadok's glyph. So, but I know one time,
it can be,
I think it's God is a verb. That glyph is in that one. I have to look for it. But I don't remember.
In the Ten Luminous Emanations, Rabbi Berg explained, if you have a child standing on the edge of the water and skipping stones, I think you all know what skipping stones are, where the child throws it and tries to get the rock that he's flipping to skim across the water. So it'll bounce. Instead of dropping into the water, it'll bounce and go a little further. So as he throws the stone, the question that Rabbi Berg asked is, where is the catcher? Clearly, when the rock drops into the water, that is the Malchut. When the rock drops into the water, there's no splash. Sometimes we see a splash, but that's coming from the other circles of that are created as the rock floats over the water but doesn't touch the water. The ripples of the water take place. So where is the catcher? The catcher is right by.
I have a question.
The boy. Let me finish. The boy holding the rock and throwing the rock. The widest circle, the largest circle, is the catcher. Is right by the boy. It includes the land he's standing on. It goes all the way. You know, it's just huge. Whereas the Malchut, where the rock drops into the water, it's a little nothing. There's no ripples. Now, with respect to returning light, the ripple that starts with the rock dropping into the water, at the point of dropping into the water, there's nothing. There's no ripples. But then it starts coming back. The ripples roll back towards the void. And those ripples are actually revealing what the boy created potentially. Direct light was him throwing the stone. That's the potential. When the rock drops into the water, now the ripples roll back. They are revealing what was potential. They're revealing all of the nine Sephirot of the different ripples. But they couldn't be seen until the rock drops into the water. Now, when we talk about a hem, the hem of a dress, the hem of a blanket, why is it the Malchut? Because until the hem is completed, until you do the return fold that lets you hem the dress is in potential. You don't know how long it's going to be. You don't know what the sizes of the 10 Sephirot for that dress are. Only when you complete the hem, meaning the Malchut, do you now reveal the dress as being wearable? I'm not sure who I interrupted, but please go ahead now.
So, Malhut is the light that we receive, that we can filter, that's filtered, and that we are like we can handle. Is that correct?
No.
We're asking a question about what inner light.
Malhut has no light of its own. Malhut is dark. Malhut caused by not being able to receive, it causes returning light. So there's no direct light that can go into Malhut, but by pushing back, binding by striking, the Malhut starts the returning light. And that reveals all that was in potential beforehand is now been revealed. Then that light can find its way back into Malhut. But none of it came from Malhut. There's no light in the moon. There's no light in Malhut. Only what is created through binding by striking. I know it's confusing, but the process is you have direct light, you have the curtain binding by striking, pushing back on the light reverses itself and it becomes returning light, which reveals all of the other sephirot, and now that revealed, completed light can find its way somehow, and it's not really explained well. Somehow it comes into the physical world. You went to the post office and there was a check that you weren't expecting. Where did that come from? It came from the light that you pushed back on a month earlier. When somebody tried to give you something and you pushed back on it so that it could be revealed, then it comes back to you in a check in your mailbox that you weren't expecting. This verse is telling us there is never sadness in the internal vessels. Now, what are the internal vessels? They're the vessels that are created through binding by striking. The direct light is potential, but the only way it becomes revealed is by you pushing it back, by you using binding by striking. That's the internal vessel, the bind, what takes place after you push back. So now I've confused everything and our time is up. Does anybody really have any questions? And isn't it nice that tonight's class is questions and answers at 7 o'clock? That's West Coast time. And tomorrow at 4:30, I believe will be, it's not going to be an advanced reincarnation class like normal. It will be the preparation for the teshuvah process. And our 7 o'clock class will be a Zohar class tomorrow on Thursday. But I hope you'll join us for the 7 o'clock class tonight and bring your questions that I've confused you today or whatever else you think is appropriate.
Okay. All right. Will do.
Shalom. Shalom to all.
Shalom. Thank you.
Shalom.